Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, stand on your feet and turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm number 51, verse 11. Psalm number 51, verse 11. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to hear your word. Speak to our hearts, challenge us right where we are. Minister your word, a word that will cleanse us, that will change us, that will strengthen us. And God, will be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Psalm number 51, verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. And I want to speak from the subject, I just want to be right. Part three. I just want to be right. Part three. We've been dealing with this word all day, and all of the different things that David himself has dealt with in coming to this place, how even though he was in a place of prominence, his sin, his bad decision making, his moral collapse brought him down to a place where even though he was a king, he felt like someone not worthy of being connected to the Lord in that state. He wanted to have the rich and warm fellowship that he once knew with God that had departed from his life, and because of the deciding issues of his life, he had slipped away from God and had not realized how far he had moved from that place he once held as the greatest fellowship of his life. And so when we begin to look at this word again and we see this 51 number of Psalm, it is quite clear that David was saying, I just want to be right. It's not enough that God wants us to be right. It's not enough that you might want me to be right or someone want you to be right. It's all different when you just want to be right. That's not about what populace opinion thinks. It really doesn't motivate you by what somebody says about you. You want to be right because you know in that right state, that right place, of fellowship with God, of oneness with God, there is a place so sweet and so special that nothing nor no one could compare with. And if you've ever been in that place, you want to talk about a sweet place. You want to talk about a happy place. You want to talk about a sure place. You want to talk about a place you never ever want to let go. Then you know that place is a place that nothing else can compare with. And so David looks in this psalm, as we see in verse 9 through 11 is where we have dealt with this day. In verse 9, he deals with concealment and cleanup, because he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. He says, hide, dealing with concealment, and it means to hide or conceal carefully. And it was God who sees all and knows all that he was saying. Listen, God, I don't want you to pay attention to all of my little offenses, sins. But then when you move into the further part of the verse, he talks about, but blot out all of mine iniquities. And as I shared with the church this morning, that word iniquities here in the text means perversities and all of those depravities. And so it's important to understand, he was saying, I want you not to overlook my offenses and leave the worst stuff for me to sweep under the rug, but I want you to clean all that mess up out of my life. And see, my brothers and sisters, if you don't get all of those depraved things out of your heart and out of your spirit, it's just waiting for the right opportunity to come out again. It might have happened as a young person, and then it might not happen again to you, an old person. It doesn't mean it's gone. It just means it's been laying low till the right opportunity came. And see, one of the things that's real is the fact that if you're going to confess, then go on, confess. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He says, I need you to blot out all of mine iniquities. Because here's what he knows. Even if you look over my offenses, my sins, he says, I'm still going to lose it when you see all of the great mess ups that I have made and shall continue to make. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. When it comes to this point where David is dealing with God, he's talking about a cleansing underneath the skin. He ain't talking about just no head cleansing, a cleansing. He's talking about a heart cleansing. You see, there are things that we associate with being young, and we call them young and foolish. But the problem is, if we don't deal with them and cleanse them and get rid of them when we're young, then we become old and more foolish. Not more, more foolish. And you know the saying, that's right, ain't no fool. Y'all getting quiet on me. Like an old fool. You know that, have you ever seen some old person that ought to be on their knees praying, ought to be in church, praise the Lord, they out on the floor trying to do a step or two? Ought to be rocking their grandbaby somewhere, their great grandbaby. They out there trying to shake it and let it drop like it's hot. Knowing if they get down, somebody gonna have to help them get up, Brother Bob. Ain't no fool like it. I still got it, all them young women want me. No, they want your pension check. You daddy, but you're sweet. Daddy. If you don't get rid of all that mess while you're young, it follows you and gets worse as you get older. Perversities and depravities, they become worse and worse and worse. And he said, blot mine out. But then we move to verse 10, and verse 10 deals with creation and conversion, because he says, create in me. And this is the same word create that we find in Genesis 1 and 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so you'll see that same word is employed in David's request for God to do whatever is necessary to get his heart right, that he yields himself and leaves it up to God to fix whatever needs to be fixed. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now look again, that's the creative part. And here comes the conversion. And renew a right spirit within me. Here's what David knew. If you had a clean heart and a bad spirit, the bad spirit would corrupt the clean heart. That's why you got to be careful who you associate with, who you hang out with, who is your partners, your homies, your fellows, your girls, your whatever you want to call them. That's why you've got to be careful, because again, the wrong spirit can mess up your heart. And so he says, I want you to create in me a clean heart, O God, passionately crying out to him, and renew a right spirit. And causatively, this word renew literally means use whatever measure or means necessary. And here are three words that are associated with this causatively. One, repair. Two, rebuild. Three, renew. So he says, concerning my heart and my spirit, do whatever you need to do to get me right. If it takes a little repair, then repair it. If you have to rebuild it, then rebuild it. But even if you have to give me a new heart, renew it. Do whatever you need to do to make me right with you. And so I will be converted from those old ways, the old lifestyle, the old thoughts, the old walks, the old place, the old hangouts, the old friends, the old stuff, the old man. I will be converted from that old way of life. But then in verse 11, he deals with something that's important, because he recognizes if God does not create and convert him a new heart and spirit, then soon he's going to be cast away. You see, God, listen, is a loving God, a patient God, a long-suffering God. But that reaches a point where God says, enough is enough. You've been in that way too long. You said, Lord, forgive me, too much for the same thing. You don't want to change. You have become more weak and wicked. And the more you become in the state of weakness and wickedness, where it just goes down in a spiraling reality, then God winds up turning you over to a reprobate mind. When God sees that there is no hope for you, no changing in you, you're going to be that way today, and you're going to be that way tomorrow, and you're going to be that way forever, then he washes his hands from you. He allows you to live in that state you want to live in, because here's what's true. You're going to die in that state and live in hell eternally. If you refuse the salvation that God offers, if you refuse the help that God offers, if you refuse the makeover that God offers you, if you refuse to get it right time and time again that God offers you, he then leaves you to your own demise. And So David, recognizing that, he appeals to the Lord and says, cast me not away. So the first thing he says is to the Lord, don't cast me off. Because one of the things that David has recognized is, and my grandmother, who did not have a theological training, used to put it this way. She used to say, if Mary is mad with you, the Lord don't want to have nothing to do with you. And I always said I wanted that kind of hookup with the Lord. But here's what David realized. He realized if the Lord cast you off, there is no hope left for you. If God turns his back on you, there's nobody who can help you. If God leaves you alone, there's nobody who can come along and put you in the right state when he has given you everything in the person of his son and you have rejected him and his spirit. There is no hope. And what people forget is that Satan is so cunning, filled with trickery, so sly, smooth in his mannerisms and his ways of trying to pull the hood over you, that he creeps in wherever there's a crack. He doesn't have to have the front door open for him. He doesn't have to come in through the back door. He don't have to get in a window. Just let there be a crack, and he'll creep on in and cause chaos until you realize most times when it's too late that he has worked havoc in your life. And you ask the question, where did I go wrong? You did not guard your heart, your mind, your inner man, your will, your understanding, your heart. He says, cast me not away. He's seen God in the casting off role. And how people's lives were never the same. He's seen when God has shut his ear and won't hear your prayers. Matter of fact, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He knows what it is when God won't even look at you no more. Turns his face in disgust against you and a testimony against your non-compliance. He's seen God in the casting off position and don't want that position to be towards him. Because when you are cast off, then you are headed for utter darkness. And my brother, my sister, the void that comes in being separated from God, listen at me, nothing can fill. Not all the money in the world, not all the substances in the world, not all of the perverted acts in the world, not all of the depravity in the world. Not anything you can do or say can fill that void that happens underneath the skin when you are separated from God and have been cast off from the Lord. It literally means you are hopeless. And people usually don't live beyond the moment of recognizing that they are hopeless. What have I to live for when there's nothing left? And you look at them and you look at their circumstances and you would gladly trade from what it appears on the outside that they have a good life, and yet they've committed suicide. They've given up on their life. But what they're really saying is, if God has cast me off, and I have nothing else to live for. I am done. Not it is done. And so he says, he pleads, cast me not away. Listen to this. From thy presence. Now, David is the same one who says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So outside of his presence is fullness of void. Y'all catch that on your way home. He says, the one who knows what it is to be in God's presence, to have that fullness, that completeness, that peace underneath the skin that's like a river that rolls and flows underneath his skin. This man who knows what a fellowship it is to have with God, he says, don't cast me away from your presence. He didn't say, don't cast me away from the throne. He didn't say, don't cast me away from my family. He didn't say, don't cast me away from the people. Don't cast me away from my prosperity. He doesn't say, don't cast me away from all of the other meaningful things in life. Listen at how he elevates the presence of God to a prominent place in his life that nothing can compare with. Cast me not away from thy presence. So obviously, my brother, my sister, take a helpful, holy hint in learning what it feels like, what it is like to be in God's presence. Listen, the best present you can ever have is being in his presence. Everything you could want is in his presence. Everything you need is in his presence. Everything you would desire is in his presence. Listen, and all of that is just lanyap. You never get enough of gazing at him in his presence, the awness of his presence, the greatness and grandeur of his wisdom. You never get enough of being in his presence. That's why time really flies when you're in his presence. You don't understand how when you enjoy God's presence like that, it is nothing like it. Every opportunity the psalmist got, he recognized that the enemy's plan was to divide and conquer. Wasn't to take his kingdom. Forget the kingdom. Wasn't to take his position. Forget the position. Wasn't to take his prosperity. Forget the stuff. It was to separate him from God. The essence and effervescence of life that resides on the inside is gone when God is gone. And with all of those things, nothing could fill that place but God. And so, my brothers and sisters, if David was known as a man after God's own heart, pursuing God's own heart, he recognized that there was no more valuable place, more prominent place to be in than in the heart of God. And that's what he wanted. More than silver or gold, more than a great name or fame, more than position or power, he wanted to be right with God. I just want to be right Nothing else matters when I get this right. I'm happier than I've ever been when I get this right. There is no place, no peace I'll ever know that's greater than this, to know that I'm right with God. That's what he wanted. That's what he lost. That's what he recognized the enemy was trying to do in separating him from what he loved the most. And that's what the enemy wants to do to each one of us. That's why he wants to get you hooked on stuff so that you become more caught up on the stuff that you are moved away from the place of God, because you're in love with the stuff more than the God of the stuff. And then when you get all the stuff and the stuff can't bring you joy, and when you realize finally that you got all that stuff you wanted, it wasn't the stuff that brought you the peace, the joy, the happiness. It was in knowing God aright. Then he moves on and he says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not. So now he says, Lord, I don't want you to cast me off, but I also don't want you to cancel me out. Thy Holy Spirit from me. Now listen at this now. All of these things that he's talking about, none of it is in the natural realm. All of it is in the spiritual realm. See, when you've fallen so low and you've come to the reality that all this stuff really don't mean anything without the Lord, then you come to the reality that God is everything to you. And what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So if God's presence is departed from your life and he casts you off, then he cancels out his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who guides you, who guards you, who gives to you, who sustains you, who shows you, who shares with you. The Holy Spirit that invigorates life, make life worth living. He's your teacher. He's your paraclete. He's everything that you need in the earth realm to guide you safely from earth to glory. If he removes and cancels out your subscription to the Holy Ghost, then you won't know how to go in or to come out. You won't know how to move one foot in front of the other. You don't know what direction you are going in. You are totally lost and without hope and without help. How many times when you couldn't do it, you just called on the Father and the Holy Ghost whispered in your ear, and maybe even deeper than that, in your spirit, and you were talking to him, but you couldn't understand it. It sounded like gibberish in the natural ear, but the spirit man was eating it all up. And all of a sudden, as deep and down and depressed as you were, something started happening on the inside. And all of a sudden, you know, you couldn't figure it out. It didn't make no sense, but you had a feeling that everything was gonna be all right. I don't know how it's going to be all right. I don't know when it's going to be all right, but I know it's going to be all right. Because the Holy Ghost came and told me everything. I said everything. Everything. Yeah, it's going to be all. Y'all don't feel like having no church, but that's all right. I'm glad. I said I'm glad that the Holy Ghost, he walks with me and he talks with me.